As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You sat down and figured out what you end up with out of your gross pay, I think most people will be very disturbed after they see what they give the government and what they give to the banks.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we speak with property investment financial expert David Fleming. He shares with us why banks make so much money in the first 11 years of the loan, and how with some smart strategies can help save money in your pocket, how one property deal almost ended in disaster, and much, much more. David Fleming has been in the financial side of property investing for over 20 years, and he shares with us what his day-to-day activities encompasses.
I've been in the mortgage, property investment, financial services industry for around about 22 years. And I originally started working on for a couple of companies, and I just wasn't totally happy with the way they went about finding the properties, the value of the properties, and how they treated their clients. And I was at a mature age at that point. I was in my 50s, and I really didn't want to start my own business. I was just happy working for another company and letting them do all the backroom work for me. However, I couldn't find somebody that I was satisfied with, so I then branched out and started our own company, which is called Equity Resource Proprietary Limited. And over the years, since the year 2000, we've had hundreds of clients who have happily either come through us to get their mortgages set up or to actually purchase investment properties.
We learn about how his company helps clients when it comes to investing.
On any given day, we talk to existing customers to find out how they've been treated by the lender that we've referred them to, or if they have any ongoing or future needs that we may need to sit down and have a discussion about to be able to help them out with that. And also we talk to people about investment properties because we find in today's Australia people are paying too much tax and they're paying too much money to the banks. And what we try to do is, first of all, set up a strategy that's going to help them to pay off their mortgages faster, and also a strategy whereby they can acquire investment property or properties for their future retirement wealth that enables them to reduce the taxes they pay to the Australian government. Now, when you look at today's mortgages, banks have got them all set up that favours themselves. In other words, if you take out a 30-year mortgage, it takes you approximately 11 to 14 years to get to what is called the halfway mark if you make the minimum contractual payment. And what I mean by the halfway mark is half the payment goes to you, half the payment goes to the bank. Prior to that, the mortgage payment is front-end loaded in the bank's favour. So you are paying approximately over the first 11 to 14 years, 75% of that mortgage repayment is going to the bank. Now, the issue with that is on average, and we're not saying anybody specific, but on average throughout Australia, Australians refinance their mortgage every 5 to 7 years. Well, if you sit down and think about that for a moment, you'll know that the banks are getting a huge amount of money out of the mortgagor. That's you, the person who's taking out the mortgage. And over the years, you may have 3-4 different mortgages. You might upsize, you might upgrade, you might refinance, do renovations, and start that mortgage all over again. So therefore, people are on that constant slippery slope of having the mortgage in the way of them progressing through to some kind of wealth creation or wealth accumulation throughout their lifetimes. That's why 63% of Australians end up on government assistance when they retire, which is a pretty sad story, simply because they're on that slippery slope all their life trying to satisfy the lender or the bank and paying off the mortgage. So we look to help them set up a strategy to pay that mortgage off faster. And we want to do that is by purchasing an investment property. But that investment property needs to be properly structured. In Australia today, over 80% of people who buy investment properties only buy one investment property, even though their initial goal was to get 3, 4, 5, 6 put together by the time they retire, they never get past that first one. And that's usually because they don't understand how to structure a proper, effective investment property structure to, one, help them pay off their current mortgage, if it's a home mortgage, and also, two, how to reduce the liability or commitment they have on the investment property so they create more equity, which enables them to step into the second and eventually the third and fourth investment properties.
Fleming talks about how to create more equity for clients and how that inspired him to start his company many years ago.
You can create a foundation of equity for yourself by, one, yes, you will get capital growth. Property, investment properties or buying properties, all about time in, not timing. So the longer you hold on to that property, the more chances you have getting capital growth. But why just wait around for capital growth? Because sometimes the property market can be quite static or intermittent in regards to getting capital growth. But we look for high performance, high economic development areas where there are low vacancy rates that push the values of properties up, but they also get good rental yields. At the moment in Sydney, the rental yields on property is pretty terrible. It's around about 3.4, 3.8. If you look to selected areas in, say, Queensland or Brisbane, you can get anywhere from 5 to 7% rental yields. And those kind of yields increase your cash flow on a positive cash flow on a property. And then that allows you to maybe take the excess cash flow after tax benefits and channel that back into your own home mortgage and pay that off sooner. Because with your home mortgage, you're paying for that with your after tax dollars. And therefore, you need to get rid of that mortgage as soon as possible. So our advice to our customers is to try to kick the stuffing out of the mortgage in the first 5 to 6 years. That minimises the amount of interest that you'll end up paying the bank, and you put more of your money back in your own pocket.
Fleming has had a very interesting upbringing, and his journey did not start here in Australia.
I actually grew up in New Zealand, in the Waikato and Auckland area, and then I came to Australia in around about 1967 or 68, if my memory serves me well. And then I worked in a variety of jobs. I actually left Australia for a while and worked in the United States for about 14 years, where I got into what's called the alternative energy business, which was residential and solar hot water, residential photovoltaic cells, and also wind turbine machines and cogeneration machines for very large buildings. Over there in the United States, when they build a huge building, they actually put a cogeneration machine in the basement, which pretty much makes the building self-sufficient. When I came back to Australia back in 1986, I was a little homesick. So I was looking to get into a similar type industry. But at that point in Australia, it hadn't progressed that far. There was a few companies around selling solar hot water, but that wasn't really of interest to me. And so I kind of actually flummoxed around for a couple of years. And then eventually somebody told me about negative gearing. So I decided to have a look at that. And I got quite excited to see what that could be for the individual. However, when I got into the industry, I got a little bit concerned. There were companies out there selling overpriced properties. We're talking back in 1997, 1998, when you looked at Queensland. I think they called them the White Shoe Brigade. But all of that eventually got cleaned out by the authorities. And as I said a little bit earlier, I really wasn't looking to start another company and take on that responsibility. But as things worked out, I couldn't find one that I would settle down in and be comfortable and happy with. So I decided to start our own business from that point on.
He grew up in New Zealand and tells us where he went to school.
Went to primary school there, went to college there, and that was pretty much it.
What did you study at college?
Academics.
We hear a little bit more about what Fleming studied in college over in New Zealand before he transitioned to Australia.
Well, that's really accounting and learning about debits and credits and things of that nature, which at the time wasn't that really exciting to me, but persevered and understood a little bit about that, so probably stood me in good stead later in life.
With an accounting background from his study at college, did Fleming decide to jump right into the area of work?
Went into different jobs, and mainly in the promotional field, sales field, and that was probably where I learnt my entrepreneurial skills.
What kind of sales roles did you do?
Various ones. Selling photocopiers, things of that nature.
Fleming had numerous roles in sales and explains other occupations that he had undertaken before he set off on his property investing journey.
In the United States, as I mentioned, I got into the alternate energy field of selling solar hot water, solar photovoltaic cells, cogeneration machines and wind turbines. And at that point, I learned that in the United States, they were getting huge tax benefits for those kinds of things. And I could see that people could reduce their taxes quite substantially by investing those types of things. And I was also a little bit into the commercial field, where I could see that people were actually earning, not only reducing their taxes, but they were earning income off of that type of equipment. And that's when I came back to Australia. I wanted to see if I could get involved in something similar, but couldn't really find anything that advanced in Australia. As far as solar was concerned, you could buy a solar hot water heater for your roof, but there was really no tax incentives attached to that. And of course, the only income you could earn from that was maybe saving a little bit on your energy bill. And then eventually I got introduced to negative gearing, which was something that sparked me off right away, because here you had a product that not only could you earn income off, but you could reduce your taxes quite substantially. And as I found out that, if you go back to 1965, the average Australian worked 88 days a year for the government. These days, it's around about half the year of all your money that you earn goes to the government. And that means that not only your income tax, but all the hidden taxes, like excise tax, luxury tax, road tax, GST. What about road tolls?
There are many hidden costs that you do not realize that you're paying for at the time, but Fleming reiterates the importance of understanding your budget.
For the first 11 to 14 years, you're toiling away, right? You're toiling away, giving your money to the government, giving the money to the bank. I mean, very few people actually sit down and do a budget, a proper budget. But if you sat down and figured out what you end up with out of your gross pay, I think most people will be very disturbed after they see what they give the government and what they give to the banks. Therefore, it behooves anybody to sit down with somebody who's knowledgeable in these matters, and I'll put myself forward quite readily, to work out what it is you can do to put a strategy together to try and kind of fight back on these fronts and start allowing yourself or preparing for yourself some kind of strategy that's going to start getting you ahead.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into David Fleming's journey and how he got started in property.
I just got slowly disillusioned with what was being presented to customers and clients, and just thought, this can be done a whole lot better.
His advice on knowing your budget.
80% of the people that bought an investment property never get to the second one because they can't afford it.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. After being in the United States for 14 years, he talks about some of the circumstances that led to his return to Australia.
I got married over there and I got divorced over there. And so at the end of the day, there were no children, but I guess I just got a little homesick for my family. They had all moved from New Zealand to Australia. And just at the end of the day, I thought, well, if I'm going to live the rest of my life out, I'd actually prefer to do it in Australia.
When did Fleming decide to finally return to Australia?
Around about 1986.
Fleming was running another business of his own before his property investment company, but was greatly impacted by forces out of his control.
I was actually involved in the sale of Phillips language courses. And then I actually got into the clothing business where I actually had my own company, and we were selling promotional clothing and corporate uniforms. However, that kind of slowly petered out on its own because the government of the day, which was Bob Hawke and Paul Keating, they decided to take the tariffs off the imports on clothing, which when I was in the business, you could make a reasonable profit margin. But once they took those tariffs off, gradually, slowly but surely, all the profit went out of manufacturing clothing here in Australia, especially the corporate uniforms and the promotional clothing, like polo shirts and logos and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, your profit margin just wasn't there anymore. You couldn't sustain a business doing that. So that's when I started looking around for something else, and that's when I came across negative gearing in the late 90s.
Once his former business slowly broke down, he learned about property and had some ideas that he thought could help a lot of people.
I worked for somebody else for about 2 years and learned about property. And as I said, I just got slowly disillusioned with what was being presented to customers and clients, and just thought, this can be done a whole lot better, and that we can work with quality builders and developers, and be able to present properties that, first of all, most importantly, one of the big issues with investment properties is if you buy an overpriced property, and a lot of people are finding that in Sydney at the moment, even with buying their own homes, they bought at the height of the property market, and all of a sudden $100,000 has gone off the value of the property they bought. That's hard to come back on, right? So our issue is, we've sold properties in Victoria, Sydney, Newcastle, Brisbane, Townsville, Cairns, and all of those properties are performing very, very well because we took the time and energy to search out those areas and look for stuff that's going to give the customer, first of all, a property at real market value. It's in a strong growth area, has got a low vacancy rate, so there's always a steady supply of tenants to choose from, and that's got high rental yields that ensures that at the end of the day, they're not having to take that $50 or $100 or $120 out of their pocket every week to support the property.
Fleming delves into how he actually started his property investing journey and what some of the key factors were in him making that decision.
I really got involved in the property industry around about 1997, so I'd already been back here about 11 years. And I was oblivious to negative gearing at that time. And it was around about that time where somebody told me, this is how it works. And I went, that's very interesting. I need to know more. So I then went to start looking for companies that might be involved in the industry started talking to them and then eventually got hired by one. But I wasn't happy with what they were doing. Then I found another one that initially he seemed like Mr. Righteous. My clients were doing really well. They were making great property purchases. But I think he got a little bit greedy. Then I got a bit unhappy with some of the practices that were going on and some of the valuations that were coming in on the properties. And I decided there really wasn't any other way out of this other than go do it myself. So I aligned associations with companies like Winter, Lendlease, Mervac, etc., Stockland. We then started putting property portfolios together. We have clients that bought back in the Olympic Village, which is Newington, back in 2000. We had clients who bought property in the Forum at St. Leonard's. That's the big new building on top of the railway station there. We actually tried to sell three-bedroom penthouse apartments back then for $560,000. And we couldn't find any buyers for that. We sold lots of one and two bedrooms, but we couldn't find anybody to buy the three bedroom. You know what they're worth now?
Easily over the $1 million mark, easily. Yeah, way over.
Way over. Probably closer to $2 million something.
Sometimes the most valuable thing when it comes to property investment is time.
It comes back to it's time in, and it's finding the right locations now. Based on our experience, we have a huge network of contacts throughout the country, whether that be in any state in Australia, New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, South Australia, even Darwin and West Australia, as well as Tasmania. And what we do is we look for properties that are quality, that value up, but more importantly, that are in growth areas, population growth, economic growth, have low vacancy rates and have high rental yields. And that's what we look for, because we like to see that people can get into property that after tax benefits, they're actually getting a positive cash flow every week, that they can channel that money back into their home mortgage. And then with other mortgage strategies that we tell our clients about, they can then channel their resources into reducing that home mortgage as fast as possible.
Fleming explains how important it is to know what you're getting into and knowledge of your own budget before investing in property.
And that's why what we discussed a little bit earlier, why 80% of the people that bought an investment property never get to the second one, because they can't afford it, right? Because they're struggling to hold on to the one they bought, and they still got this home mortgage around the neck that they're paying for with their after-tax dollars. Right, and people's lifestyles change. They have more kids, right? They get a raise, and then all of a sudden, mum says, "Well, we need to upgrade the house. We've got more kids, right? We're getting more money." The next door neighbor's moved 6 months ago. They're living now over in that other suburb where I'd like to be.
There are experts out there who are a great help if you're looking to purchase property.
That's where the help of a financial advisor comes in, who's got the experience in the marketplace. Not only the experience in the marketplace, but also the repercussions from what actions you take out today financially, how that's going to affect you down the road.
Fleming shares a story with us about a time that he almost led his clients to a catastrophic loss and the learning experience he gained out of it.
I think probably what you've got to watch out for is, and everybody's susceptible to this, right? We all want to make a quick buck. So we look at trying to either buy ourselves or steer our clients into buying into a boom area. Now, fortunately for us, we escaped this, but we came so close to a calamity with maybe four or five of our clients. We were promoting Maroombwa up in Queensland. And that's a mining town. Yep. Maroombwa. All right, it's up there by Chinchilla and Emerald, and it's a mining town. And they were having a lottery on blocks of land up there through the council, and our clients could have purchased, I think, I can't remember what the block of land was for. It was around about $300,000 or $400,000. And we had, I think, about four clients that we put lottery applications in for on various blocks of land. I think there was about maybe 2 to 3 blocks per client that we were bidding on, and to see what would happen. And fortunately, none of the clients won the bids, right? Because by the time you put the house on there, I think the total cost was around about $600,000 to $700,000. They were getting $1,000 plus a week rent once the house was completed, right? And then eventually the value of those houses went up, right? But we never looked at what might happen tomorrow. And eventually what happened tomorrow was the bottom fell out of the mining industry. And I think you can buy those houses for $200,000 to $300,000 at the moment. Right. So that was a scary moment that made me reflect very seriously on the fundamentals of what a successful investment property should look like.
In contrast with his near miss, he tells us about the moment he felt that everything had come together.
We have Townsville, for example. We have clients that purchased in there, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, double remote lock-up garage, nice block. We went from 500 to 700 square metres for $249,000. Right? Well, initially when we got into there, no one else knew about Townsville, right? But Townsville, and Townsville's had its ups and downs since then. What's his name? Clive Palmer with his nickel works and so forth kind of put a lot of people out of work there. All the clients that we have in Townsville, some of them may have sold their properties by now, but others have still got their properties and holding on and doing okay. And on those $249,000 properties, I don't know exactly what rent they're getting at the moment, but I would say they're getting in the vicinity of $450, $480 a week rent. That's not a bad deal when you look back on that. Right. Same thing with Cairns. We got in there many years ago. Then we also got caught up with all the hype with Tony Fung and his Aquis Casino that was going to go in there. But the government gave him such a hard time, he backed off. And that was that situation there. But, Cairns is up there, out of sight, out of mind with most people. They just don't realise how low the vacancy rate up here is, what kind of rental returns they're getting. And they're doing pretty good. So, that's another area of interest. A big area of interest at the moment is Brisbane itself. The projections are that over the next, by 2022, the capital growth in Brisbane is expected to be around about 20% between now and then. And you can get very affordable properties, and you can get anywhere from 5 to 7% rental yields on those. And the other glimmer on the horizon for Brisbane is they're going after the 2030 Olympics. They've just had the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast, which did wonders for property prices there and stability of that area. And so there's big things happening up there.
Such a strong predicted growth in Brisbane even came as a shock to Fleming.
Well, it's unusual because they're kind of a steady plotter. Brisbane doesn't fluctuate like Melbourne or Sydney. It's just a steady plotter. They get a few percentage growth points each year. But there's been a lot of infrastructure going in there. They've got the new Queens Wharf Casino that's under construction. That's about a $2-3 billion development. They got the second international runway going in the airport. They got all kinds of underground railway systems going in, transportation systems. So, that's an area that's of great interest. And up there, we offer clients, anywhere from apartments to townhouses to house and land packages. We cover the full spectrum of property.
So, inspired by David Fleming's journey and his amazing aha moment, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory. We'll discuss his advice to his clients.
Pay yourself first and then manage your lifestyle around what's left. And that's the philosophy we use with our clients.
His advice to anyone beginning their journey?
One of the most important things anybody can do to begin with is to have a goal. You've got to have a goal.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.